All right, Shavuot Sai, good morning. Let us begin. So as I put out, hopefully you saw the WhatsApp message. We're going to start with the daf this morning in an effort to try to leave a little bit of time at the end for the parsha thought. So I want to begin by thanking our... Today's daf is Samech Gimel 63, but it might as well be Samech Beis, because that's where we're starting. So we're starting in the middle of Samech Beis, Amud Beis. Just kidding. And we're picking up Emirat Hashem at the second wide line, in the beginning of the wide line, so I want to begin by thanking our sponsors, to thank our Talmud Torah sponsor for the month of Adar, the Lerner Mishpacha, for dedicating all of the Shiur Midrashos in memory of Mrs. Dina Lerner Gerber, Dina Bas Yehuda Leib. To thank Paul and Kathy Pollack for dedicating the Shiurim this week in memory of Paul's grandparents, Zechariah ben Zechariah, Dina Bas Pesach, and Jack Bennett for dedicating the Shiurim this week in memory of Erez Gerstein, who was killed by Hezbollah in February 1999. We thank our Daf Yomi sponsors for this morning, Shmuel and Sivya Davis, for dedicating the Shia this morning in memory of Sivya's mother, Chaya Leah Bas Avram, Zichron Livracha, and Mr. and Mrs. Ben, for dedicating the Shia this morning in memory of Mrs. Ben's father, Tzvi Ben Aaron, Zichron Livracha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamas will have an Aliyah, and the families a Nechama. And I will say with that, let us begin. So we have beautiful, beautiful Gemara ahead of us today. So again, today's Daf, Samech Gimel, 63. We are picking up Samech Beis, Amud Beis 62b, second wide line. So remember, just to give a bit of context, so this is in the episode where David HaMelech is on the run from Shaul, on the run from King Saul. David HaMelech had the opportunity to kill Shaul, which, as we'll see, he would have been within his right to do, but chooses not to. So he says to Shaul, they were both in a cave together, and he could have killed Shaul without Shaul even realizing what was coming. So David says, I could have killed you. I could have killed you. So the Gemara says, Va'amar. Why does the pasuk say, Va'amar? Va'amarti mi ba'ilei. It should have said, and I said. And I, David, this is David HaMelech speaking. Va'tachas, va'tachasti mi ba'ilei. It should have said, I had compassion. So David HaMelech says the following to Shaul, Mida'araisa, I have every right to kill you. Shahari ato rodef. Excuse me, Shahari rodef ato. Because you are a rodef. For both say rodef is a pursuer. Someone who is running after someone else with the intent to kill them. So David says to Shaul, you are a pursuer. Va'torah amra, balahar gecha, hashkein mahargo. And the Torah tells us that if someone is coming to kill you, ultimately you kill them first. That's the halacha, Rabbi says. Someone's coming to kill you, you kill them first. So David says, Shaul, you're trying to kill me. I have every right to kill you in order to save my life. But I saw the incredible modesty with which you conduct yourself, and therefore again I had compassion upon you. Umayhi, what's the tznius? What's ultimately, what's the modesty? What's the modesty of Shaul d'chsev? So the Navi here discusses how does Shaul end up in the cave? Ultimately with his back to David HaMelech, he went into the cave to relieve himself. So the Gemara says, Tana geder lifni migeder, Shaul went deep inside of the cave in order to relieve himself. Uma'ara lifni ma'ara, literally a cave within a cave, lahasech. Amra b'lazer melamed shesichech asmo kisuka. He covered himself like a sukkah. So also the idea is that when Shaul went to relieve himself, first of all, he went to a very private area, a cave within a cave, a wall within a wall, and even then he covered himself. He made sure that he was not exposed when he relieved himself. Little did he know that David HaMelech was hiding in the same cave behind Shaul. So amazingly enough, David HaMelech sees this entire episode, and he's actually moved by the tznius of Shaul. So he said, it's incredible, he said that a person who is so tsanua when going ahead and relieving himself, taking care of his needs, is obviously someone incredibly righteous, and therefore how could I kill such a person? But it also teaches us an incredible lesson. Here, Shaul, is literally running after David. David is completely innocent. David has done absolutely nothing to Shaul. Yet Shaul is willing to go ahead and kill an innocent man. This man who is ready to commit an act of murder is so incredibly tsanua, so modest in relieving himself in accordance with the dictates of Chazal. So what does this teach us? It teaches us that all of us live with inner anomalies. Right? This happens to all of us. I am really not vigilant and really derelict in certain areas of life, But then, Baruch Hashem, I'm really good in other areas of life. And it's important to remember, just because I'm derelict in some areas does not negate the good I do in others. Sometimes we look at ourselves and we look at life as like, it's like an absolute. Either you're in or you're out. Either you're good or you're bad. You follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu or you don't follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I both say, that often is not, that's not the case. No one could live up to that standard. So instead what the Gemara is teaching us is, here Shaul was literally ready to kill someone. He's ready to kill David. Yet at the end of the day, he was so careful, so makbid with this tznius. Again, we all live with our contradictions. We all live with our anomalies. We just try to do the best that we can in the areas that we can. Remember again, David is hiding in the cave. And what does he do? See, he doesn't kill the king. But what he does do is he cuts off a little corner of his garment. And again, his plan is to emerge from the cave after Shaul and to say to Shaul, look, I could have killed you. I was close enough to kill you, but I didn't. So you should clearly see that my intentions are not to kill you, not to usurp the throne. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, Kol Mavasa Sabekadim Sof Inonena Mehem. Whoever disrespects clothing, at the end of the day, does not benefit from them. Shene Amar, V'hamelech David Zokin Bo Bayomim, V'yichasu Babekadim V'lo Yicham Lo. Because it was at the end of David HaMelech's life, the Pasuk says, David HaMelech was old, advanced in days, they covered him with multiple layers of garments, and he could not become warm. So it says, isn't this incredible? Well, the Gemara says, why couldn't David become warmed? Because he disrespected the garment of the king. When you disrespect something, so ultimately, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you're going to disrespect it, then I no longer give you the permission to receive benefit from it. So you disrespected clothing by going in and cutting the clothing. Well, obviously, great people are held to even a higher standard. But you disrespected the clothing of the king, right, by cutting off the corner. So again, you don't get the benefit from the warming nature of those clothing, of that clothing in your advanced age. Incredible Gemara. So David comes out of the cave and he says to Shaul, God has incited you against me. If God has incited you against me, then see the fact that I could have killed you, but I didn't, as a peace offering. So Kadosh Baruch Hu gets upset. Poor David. David HaMelech cannot win. Right? He's got Shaul ready to kill him. God's getting upset at him. So God is upset. Why? Because you called me an inciter. You're telling me that God, that I incite people? I will show you that you stumble even over the most simple halachas that even children know about. In other words, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset was that when David HaMelech calls God an inciter, so what that sounds like is David HaMelech understands how God runs his world and understands all the different chashbonas. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, David, I'll show you how really foolish and infantile you are, because you'll end up making a mistake even in the thing in a halacha that everyone knows about. And then you'll recognize that I have cheshbonos and I have calculations that transcend the level of your human comprehension. Dichsiv, ki sisas rosh b'nei yisrael v'kudehem, v'nosnu ish kofer nafsho. Bosei, we know the halacha is that when you go ahead and you count klal yisrael, so every person has to go ahead and give an atonement for their soul. The idea being that we don't count Jews. So the Gemara says, what happens? Miyad, v'yamot satan al yisrael, k'siv, v'yoses es David b'hem le'mor, lech m'nei es yisrael. David HaMelech conducts a census for some totally illogical reason. Well, the truth is, there are explanations of it, but David HaMelech goes ahead and conducts a census. He counts Jews, v'chivan d'manenu, lo shakal m'nei kofer, and he counted them, and he did not take any type of kofer, any type of atonement payment for Klal Yisrael. In other words, he just counted them straight out without anything to go ahead and take away the ayin hara associated with counting. Dichsiv, v'ayitin Hashem davar b'Yisrael me'aboker v'ad eis moed. Kadosh Baruch Hu went ahead and placed devar. So as a result, there was a plague of pestilence and an overran the Jewish people from the morning until eis moed. By eis moed, Amr Shmuel Sabo Chasid Rabbi Chanina Mishrei Rabbi Chanina Mishash Chitas HaTamid Ashas Zrikaso. From the time that the Tamid was shechted until the time that the blood was sprinkled. Rabbi Yochanan Omer Ad Chatzos Mamish. The plague went on literally again until Chatzos itself. V'yomber and the Malach HaMashchis Ba'am. So we'll say, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the Malach, who is going ahead and going, I'm sorry, V'yomber and the Malach HaMashchis Ba'am, that the Pasuk says over here, Vayom, Ravata Heref Yadecha. So he said to the Malach who was destroying the people, stop. Rav Asa the Gemara says, Rav Amar, Rebbe Lazar Amar Le. She's Ba'am Rav. Amar Rebbe Lazar Amar Le, Rakhadish Baruch, the Malach. Kadish Baruch says to the Malach, Tol Li Rav Shebahem. Kill the greatest one amongst them. Sheyesh Boli Parimhem Kamachobos. Because if you kill the greatest one of the greatest people, then ultimately again that has the ability to ease the culpability of the people who died. Ba'osasha Mes Avishai ben Tsruya Sheshakel Keruba Shel Sanhedrin. In that moment, Avishai ben Tsruya, who was as important as the majority of the Sanhedrin, was killed. Rosa says all the plague in the aftermath of the census of David HaMelech. And as destruction was happening, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw what was going on, and he had compassion. Amrav ra'a Yaakov Avinu. So ultimately, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu see that caused him? That caused him to have compassion. He saw the image of Yaakov Avinu. V'chsiv v'yomer Yaakov kasher ra'am. Shmuel Amar Shmuel says, Afro shel Yitzchak. He saw the dust of Yitzchak. Shneemar Elokim yira lo haseh. So it's just interesting, by the way, that whenever Chazal speak about the merit of Yitzchak Avinu, they always speak about the ashes of Yitzchak. Now, the interesting thing apart about that metaphor is the ashes of Yitzchak, of course, is a reference to what? Akedas Yitzchak. The only problem, of course, with that metaphor is Yitzchak was never burned. Right, he was never burnt like it. But again, that lashon of Afro Shel Yitzchak is always a lashon of the merit of Akedas Yitzchak. So Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha says, Kesef Kippurim Ra. He saw the merit of the half shekel, Shneemar, Lakachtas Kesef HaKippurim, or I should say the atonement money, Meis B'nei Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Beis HaMikdash Ra. So we'll say again, the Gemara is just going through, what's the merit that God saw that caused him to stop this plague in the aftermath of the illegal census conducted by David HaMelech? So Rabbi Yochanan says, he saw the merit of the Beis HaMikdash, Tchsev, Bar Shemir Ra'eh, Pligi Bar Rav Yaakov Bar Idi Bar Bishu. One says that he saw the Kesef HaKippurim, and one says that he saw the Beis HaMikdash. Umistabra kimandomar Beis HaMikdash Ra Shneemar Asher Yeamer Hayom Bahar Hashem Yira'eh. When describing the Beis HaMikdash, that same lashon of Yira'eh, of seeing, is mentioned. Good. Well, now the Gemara goes to a little bit of halacha. So remember again, if you remember, so the Mishnah then spoke about again the halachos concerning entering onto Harabayis. So you're not allowed to enter onto Harabayis with your staff, with your money bag, with your shoes. And one of the things that the Mishnah says was you also can't make the Beis HaMikdash a kapandria. A kapandria. So my kapandria. What's a kapandria? Amarava kapandria kishma. What's a kapandria? A kapandria is a kapandria, just like we mean. Both say kapandria is translated as a shortcut. You cannot use the Harabayis. You cannot use the Beis HaMikdash as a shortcut. That is considered to be a lack of kavod, a lack of respect to the makom. So the Gemara says, V'rav Chana bar Ada, Mishmei Drav Sama Brei Drav Mari, Amar Kimando, Amar Inish, Adimikifna Adari Eol Baha. So we'll say, as people often say, this was the expression, Rashi says, essentially, I will say, in life, people are always looking for shortcuts, right? People are always looking for shortcuts. People are looking for geographic shortcuts. People are looking for life shortcuts. So people often say, why should I walk all the way around? I'll just simply go through here. I was going to see the same halacha of not making the Beis HaMikdash a shortcut ultimately applies to a shul as well. You cannot use a shul as a shortcut either. But however, the Gemara says over here, if one walks into a shul just for the sake of walking into the shul, not with the intention of using it as a shortcut, then what? One is permitted to use it as a shortcut. So we'll say what this means on a very simple level is if I walk into shul, I'm davening, and it happens to be I'm going from shul to a different location, and there are two exits in front of me, right? Or two exits in the shul. One is the one I came in from, and one is a different one, which happens to be a shorter way to get to my intended destination. I'm permitted to take the shorter one, and that's not called using the shul as a shortcut, for the very simple reason that was not my motivation for entering into the shul. So the Gemara Rabbi Avo Amar Im Hayashvil Meikara Mutar. This is very interesting. Rabbi Avo says if the shul is situated on a spot, if the shul was built on a spot that was often used as a shortcut, was often used as a path, then the halacha is you can still continue to use it as a shortcut even after the shul was built. Because Rabbi say then, with the logic of that is, that's not a disrespect to the makom. That's not a disrespect to the place. Because ultimately, again, that was the prior usage. Rabbi say a person walks into shul to daven, then after he davens, he's permitted to go ahead and use the shul as a shortcut. So it's interesting. What's the historical precedent for this halacha? Because this is what happened in the Beis HaMikdash. The Navi describes that when people came to the Beis HaMikdash, they would come to the Beis HaMikdash to daven, to pray, to gather, to offer karbanos. And very often when leaving, remember, there are multiple exits from the Beis HaMikdash. They would take often the exit that was the shortest distance between them and their intended destination, even though it was a different entrance they came in. So you see from here that as long as you're coming to the place ultimately to use it for the intended purpose, after you use it, you are permitted to go ahead and after you go ahead and you daven there, or you pray there, you worship there, you're then permitted subsequently to use it as a shortcut. So the Gemara goes right to Rikika Mekava Chomer. You certainly can't spit inside of the Beis HaMikdash as well. Whoever spits on the Harabayis, even now, it means even now, without a Beis HaMikdash, it's as if he's spitting in his own eye. Shene Emar, V'haya Enei V'libi Sham Kol HaYomim. Because we'll say the idea is that ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, my heart and my eyes will be there all days. Even when the Beis HaMikdash is not standing, my heart and my eyes will be there. Amar Rava, Rikiko Beis HaKnesses Sharia. Interesting enough, Rava says, spitting in a shul is permitted. So Rava says, so just understand what that means. Let me go on record. Spitting in shul is not permitted, right? Spitting in shul is not permitted, right? Sneezing uncontrollably is not permitted, right? All these things that Rava said. But the idea is that, remember, they had dirt floors. So if you spit on a dirt floor, it's easy enough to rub in the spit with your shoe. That's the idea. That's why Rikiko was permitted. So the Gemara says, Medi dehavya minol, because it's no different than wearing shoes. Ma minol baharabayis aser, just like wearing your shoe on the harabayis ultimately is aser. So the Gemara says, Bebe sakneses mutter, and yet again, you're allowed to wear shoes in shul. Afrikiko baharabayis huda aser. So to spitting ultimately on the harabayis, so if you can't wear your shoes on the harabayis, you certainly can't spit on the harabayis. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, Afrikiko baharabayis huda aser, Bebe sakneses shari. So I'm really that papa the rabba. So we'll say, so again, so if you can't wear shoes on the harabayis, you can't spit in the harabayis. But in the shul where you can wear shoes, you're allowed to spit as well. I don't understand. Instead of going out and learning out spitting from shoes, why don't you learn out spitting from shortcuts? In other words, we're saying you could say the following. Just like you can't take a shortcut in the Beis HaMikdash, or you can't use the Beis HaMikdash for a shortcut, you can't use a shul for a shortcut. So therefore, you can't spit in the Beis HaMikdash, you can't spit in the shul as well. To which the Gemara says, Amar le, Tana, Yalef Mimino Vat, Amen Le Kapandria. I don't say, we just said we're learning it out from shoes. That just like you could wear a shoe in shul, so too, again, you could spit in shul. And you're telling me to learn it out from the halachas of shortcuts? Mahi, what are you talking about? Disanya, lo yikarnis adil harabais, lo makhlo shabi yado, lo manalo shabi raglo, lo maus hatsurim, lo besadina pundaso, mushbal slachorov. We'll say a person can't enter the harabais with his walking stick in his hand. He can't walk in with his shoes on his feet. He can't walk in with his money that is wrapped up in his money belt. And even if his money belt is slung on his shoulder, he still can't bring it in. And you're not allowed to make the Beis HaMikdash a shortcut, nor can you spit on the ground, and that is based on a kavachomer from shoes. Now, wearing shoes, which by itself is not a degrading practice, right? There's nothing degrading about wearing shoes. Amra Torah shall na'alecha mi'araglecha. Yet the Torah still says, this is by the Sne, right? O Torah says you're not allowed to wear shoes into the Beis HaMikdash. Rikika, she derech b'zayon l'kol shekein. Then spitting, Rabbi Osai, which is a degrading practice. Certainly you can't. In other words, if you can't wear shoes, and Rabbi Osai, wearing shoes by definition is not a b'zayon, is not degrading to the makom, yet you still can't do it. Certainly you can't spit, which will be degrading to the makom. Rabbi Osai, Yehuda Omer, Einu Tzarech, Harayu Omer, Ki Ein Lavo Al Shara Melech B'levush Sak. I will say, isn't this incredible? Isn't this absolutely incredible? A pasuk from the Megillah. from Megillas Esther. We'll say, what are the chances out of a 7.5 year cycle, Shabbos Zohar, right in the beginning of the Purim season? Here again, you have a pasuk. What does the pasuk say? That ultimately, again, Mordechai wants to come to the king, but you know, you can't come before the king with a vush sack, wearing sackcloth. So we'll say, wearing sackcloth, by definition, is not something that's disgusting or degrading. Yet, you can't come before the human king with it. Right? So again, I will say, if you can't come with sackcloth before the human king, right, even though there's nothing inherently disgusting about sackcloth, then surely you can't spit in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amalei, this is what I mean to say. Why don't we just go ahead and go in a stringent fashion for all particular cases? And I'll say the following. I'll say top of Samach Gimel, and I would say the following. So we'll say ultimately again. I'll say the following. Harabayis, which is usher to go ahead and wear a shoe. Then I would say then spitting. If you can't wear a shoe, then certainly you can't spit. Aval beis haknesses tishari b'minal, but ultimately, again, beis haknesses, even though it is, you're permitted to wear shoes. So you might have thought that because you're permitted to wear shoes, therefore what? You should be permitted to spit as well. I would say, adi yalef m'mina ula heter, nelef mikap hanjia vila iser. So we'll say, see here the limud. So in the beis hamikdash itself, where you can't go ahead and wear a shoe. So then I would say, if you can't wear shoes, you certainly can't spit on the ground. But in a shul, where you can wear a shoe, I would still say you still can't spit, because I'll learn out the spitting prohibition from where? From shortcuts. If you can't take a shortcut, you certainly can't spit. To which the Gemara says, Allah Amarava, ki beso. Rather, again, I will say, ultimately, again, a shul is very similar to one's home. Ma beso akapanji akapet inish. So I'll say, just like in my home, I makbid if people use my house as a shortcut, right? I will say if somebody's walking through my dining room and I don't know them, but it happens to be that it's the closest way for them to get to their destination, I'm going to be pretty makbid on that. So if I'm makbid on people taking shortcuts through my home, because that is a lack of respect for my home, so too again is a lack of respect for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's home as well. Arakika umina lo kapid, but people are not really makbid on spitting in their homes, and they're not makbid on wearing shoes. Lo kapedinish. So we'll say again, the idea of spitting, just so you understand, again, dirt floors. Aval beisak neses kapanji Yehuda aser or rekika uminal shari. Therefore, we'll say so to a beisak neses, so to a shul. You are not permitted to make the shul into a shortcut, but you are permitted to spit on the ground, and you are permitted ultimately again to go ahead and wear shoes. And I both say, that is the halacha. You're permitted to spit on the ground again in a dirt floor, beis hakneses. You're permitted to wear your shoes. So I just point out, it is an incredible limud that the sanctity of the shul is learned out from the sanctity of the home. And it's profound on so many different levels. It's profound on the obligation we have to beautify our shuls in a way, ultimately, again, that we try to beautify our homes. The Zekili Van Veu, right? And also just how we relate to the shul in terms of not just the place that we happen to come by, but just like your home affords you a piece of your identity. So shul, the place where you come to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, affords you a piece of your identity as well. It's an incredible limud. Much more to say, but let's go back there. Kol Chozei Bracha Shem Mikdash. So also remember, again, the in the Beis HaMikdash, when they would make a bracha, so they would answer the bracha first by saying Mina Olam, and then subsequently the Mishnah says they said Mina Olam the Ad HaOlam. So Kol Kach Lama. So the Gemara says, why do you need such complex endings why do you have to answer brachas like this? Mina Olam, then Mina Olam the Ad HaOlam. Kol Kach Lama Lefi She'in Onin Amen B'Mikdash. They both say we do not answer Amen in the Beis HaMikdash. So you look at that, you say, what does that mean? So both say there's nothing wrong with Amen. It's just felt that Amen is too simple of a response to brachos in the Beis HaMikdash. Right? In the Beis HaMikdash, brachos warrant a more elaborate response. And just the simple amen is too little. So the Gemara says, minayin shein onin amen b'mikdash. How do you know that you don't answer a simple amen in the Beis HaMikdash? Shenemar kumu. Baruch Hu Hashem Elokecha mina olam v'ad ha'olam. Because they both say, they based it on this pasuk in Nehemiah. Rise up and bless Hashem your God, min ha'olam ad ha'olam. So in fact, in the Beis Hamikdash, they borrowed that phrase, right? When you bless Hashem, what do you answer? Min ha'olam ad ha'olam, from this world to the next world. Va'omer, va'yivarchu shen kvodech murama kol bracha u'tehila, yocho kol ha'brachos kulan tehila hen tehila achas. So you might have thought that maybe you just answer one grand answering, one grand response to all of the brachos you make in the Beis Hamikdash at the end of the day. Talmud Lomar, umiromam al kol bracha utehila. Al kol bracha ubracha, tein lo tehila. So also therefore the Pasuk says, and he is exalted on every single bracha, so every single bracha has its own response. So therefore I will say, in the Beis Hamikdash, originally, remember again, originally they answered, when somebody would make a bracha, they would answer min ha'olam, based on the Pasuk. Then remember again that Tzukim came along, and they said, oh, you see from here that there's only one world. There's no world to come. So after that they instituted, you should say, min ha'olam ad ha'olam, from this world till the next. God should be blessed from this world until the next. And now you see where that response came from. Weiter. Hiskinu she adam shal b'shalom chavero. So ultimately, again, they instituted that a person, when we greet each other, we should greet each other with the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rabbi say, this is where the greeting of Shalom Aleichem came from. Right? Shalom is the name, one of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they instituted that people should greet each other with the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rabbi say, see, interestingly enough, so the way the Mishnah reads is the Omer Esla, so quotes Boaz. Boaz was the first one apparently who started doing this when he greeted his reapers in the field. He said Yivarechecha Hashem or Hashem Imachem, and then the Mishnah goes on to say the Omer, and it says Esla Sosla Hashem Hefaru Sorasecha. There is a time to go ahead and do for God, for they have annulled your Torah. So the Gemara says, "My va'omer." What's the meaning of this of that last part of the Mishnah? V'chi tema Boaz midaite dinafish kamar dinafshe kamar. So maybe you'll say Boaz just acted on his own, right? Boaz decided to go ahead and greet his reapers with the name of Hashem. Boaz, remember again, Boaz comes to the field, and what's the halacha? He says, "Vayomer lekotzrim Hashem imachem." He says to the reapers, "God is with you." This Boaz was the first person to ever greet another individual with the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So maybe you'll think, this was just Boaz's idea that he kind of did on his own. But it doesn't reflect any standard normative practice. So the Gemara says, V'chitem Boaz v'dayte din avshay kamar, tashma, Hashem imcha gibar hachayil. So we'll say, so the truth is, we see an example of this earlier. When the Malach spoke to Gidon, right? Gidon was one of the earlier shoftim. So when the Malach, the angel speaks to Gidon, he says, also Hashem imcha gibar achayel, God is with you, valiant one, valiant soldier. So you see that already the name of God is being employed in a greeting much earlier on. Gidon. So maybe you'll say, well, look, that's a different case. Why? Because that's a Malach. That's an angel, ultimately, again, who is connecting with Gidon. Tashma al tavos ki zikne imcha. Va'omer eis la sos la shem heifaru sarasecha. Therefore, I will say, ultimately, again, the Braisa says, do not go ahead and disparage your elderly mother. Well, so what does it mean, don't disparage your elderly mother? I mean, good advice in general, but what does it mean? It means don't disrespect your elders. What your elders said was correct practice is what you should perpetuate as well. And if Chazal told us that ultimately it is appropriate to go ahead and greet people at the Shem Hashem, then one should continue to do so. Va'omer, Eisla Sosla Hashem Efaru Sorasecha. Now, what's important to understand over here is the inherent tension. The halacha is not comfortable with people greeting the name of HaKadosh Baruch, with the name of God. The halacha is not comfortable. Why is halacha not comfortable with it? Because to a certain degree, it seems like a misuse of the name of Hashem. Right? Think about this for just a moment. You're throwing around the name of God every single time you greet someone. I have an obligation to greet every single individual. So every time I greet someone, I'm going to use the Shem Hashem. It just doesn't seem right. So Boaz says, interestingly enough, the Malbim in Megillah Asrus discusses why did Boaz institute this practice. Remember, we see historical precedent ready for it by Gidon, but why did Boaz institutionalize it? So the Malbim says, because Boaz had seen that God was forgotten from contemporary society. People forgot about God. So Boaz wanted to bring God back into daily life. What's the best way to bring God back into daily life? Include God in just your interpersonal greetings. But I will say, but this entire practice is a bidyeved. This is not the ideal. So the essay of the Gemara quotes the pasuk Va'omer, Eis la sos la shem eifaru sarasecha. But we'll say sometimes the best way to serve God is to annul his Torah. We'll say, what does that mean? That sometimes, ultimately, again, for the greater good, you have to go ahead and do something that is not ideal. Sometimes for the greater good, you have to say that's not ideal. So it's not ideal to greet people with the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is not ideal. But in order to serve the greater good, Boaz institutes it. Amar Rava, Hai Kram Yerisha L'Seva Madrush, M'Seva L'Reisha Madrush. So Rava says, this pasuk of Eis La'asol S'Lashem Yifaru S'Lasecha can be darshan from beginning to end and from end to the beginning. Madrush M'Yerisha L'Seva can be darshan from the beginning to the end. Madrush, so the Gemara says, Eis La'asol S'Lashem. Sometimes there's a time that you have to rise up and do something for God. Matam, as well, sometimes you have to do something out of the ordinary. Matam, Mishum Yifaru S'Lasecha. Because they are annulling your edicts. In other words, so sometimes you have to do something a bit more dramatic because ultimately, again, or in other words, sometimes you have to compromise on one law and one detail in order to uphold and safeguard the greater system. And furthermore, again, from end to beginning, sometimes they annul tenets of the Torah. Why? Because we'll say sometimes the way to serve God is by annulling, ultimately, again, a particular law, a particular concept. So we'll say, obviously, don't try this at home, right? This is the purview of Chazal to figure out ultimately, again, when we are permitted to go ahead and negate a particular precept or concept in order to uphold the covenant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu or in order to uphold the sanctity of Torah. Tanya, Hillel Zaki Nomer, Bishas HaMachnis, this was actually quite beautiful. So Hillel the Elder said as follows, Bishas HaMachnis in Pizer. At a time when everyone is gathering, you should go ahead and spread around. So we'll say Rashi says over here, what this means is, B'shas ha-machnisin, shenchach me'adar marbitin pro talmidim. If you live in a time where the rabbis of the generation, the scholars of the generation, are not teaching Torah, make sure to share your Torah with as many people as you can. B'shas ha-mefazrin, when ultimately, again, people are spreading around their Torah, kines. Then I will say, you should bring in your Torah. Now I will say, this is an incredible Gemara. Look at Rashi for just a moment. B'shas ha-mefazrim, shagidolim shebedar marbitim Torah. So when the great leaders of the generation are being marbis, when they're teaching Torah, kines. Kines means ata, you don't have to teach. Bring your Torah into you. V'lo titol srara aleihem, da'avzu l'kvot shemayim, ilechos v'indas ha-navah. So we'll say, look what Hillel just said. If no one is teaching Torah, then you should teach. But ultimately, again, if a lot of people are teaching Torah, You don't need to teach. In other words, if Mephazim and people are spreading it around, you should go ahead and collect. So we'll say, so Rashi understands this to mean a din in humility. In other words, if there are plenty of great people, you don't have to go ahead and assume your role of greatness as well. You could be humble. I think Halazakin is teaching us something as well, we'll say, which is life is not about doing what you want to do. Life is about filling a need. Filling a need. Doing something that makes the world better because it is necessary and needed. Right? The Ramchal speaks about this in his introduction, that the Jew never asks himself, what do I want to do when I grow up? It's not what I want to do. It's what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need me to do? There are some lucky people for what God wants them to do or needs them to do is the same thing that they want to do. But a lot of times in life, what I want to do and what I need to do are often two dramatically different things. And life is all about, in that moment, bending your knee before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and doing what God needs you to do, even if it's not what you really want to do. So Hillel is saying something amazing over here. If you live in a generation where no one's teaching, then you have to teach. Right? If you're living in a generation where no one is sharing, then you have to share. That is absolutely your obligation. But if at the end of the day, you're living in a generation where people are already doing that work, don't duplicate services. Don't duplicate services. It's not about what you want to do. It's about what is needed from you. So if what's needed for the generation is already being taken care of by others, then figure out what other hole you could plug. Then figure out where else you could be purposeful and necessary. An incredible Gemara. And if you see a generation that loves Torah, then Pizer, spread as much as you can. We'll say if you see a generation that doesn't really respect Torah, then Kines. This is actually quite incredible. If you see a generation that doesn't appreciate Torah, then work on yourself. Mosi, you hear this incredible Moser? Sometimes it's kedai to try to change the world. And sometimes when the world, and I say world, I don't mean necessarily the global world. I mean like our own world. So it's kedai to always try to change the circumstances around you, the world around you. But sometimes if you can't change the world around you, stop trying and instead work on the one thing you really can affect changing, and that's you. Right? Sometimes you could change the world, and sometimes you just need to work on changing yourself. If you have an opportunity to change the world around you, absolutely go for it. But sometimes you can't affect change in the immediate world around you. In those moments, spend all of your time and energy affecting change in you. Gemara goes weiter. Shenemar eis lasos l'Hashem eifaros sarasech. Adarish bar kafra, zolus kvotz, kane mine ba'asra deles gabe taman havigvar. So what's they say here? Bar kafra said two things. Number one, zolus kvotz kana mine. If something is cheap, literally again, if you see merchandise that is inexpensive, then go ahead and try to acquire as much of it as you can. For ultimately, again, the prices will go up. Buy cheap, right? This advice which has guided our people through the millennia, right? As comes already from Gemara Maseches Brachos on Gimel Lamed Aleph. Buy your merchandise. I'm sure there's a metaphorical understanding of it also. But Lamaisa Bar Kafra was just saying, Rashi is pragmatia. It's merchandise. He's giving business advice. When stuff is cheap, buy it up. Because the way the world works is ultimately prices will go up again. And furthermore, he says, I will say such a beautiful Gemara. Ba'asar deles gavar taman heve gavar. In a place where there are no men, be the man. I will say, which is such an incredible yisod. So many times in life, there are things that need to get done. And the way a lot of people operate is, they're just waiting for someone else to do the job. Well, if you wait for someone else to do the job, so first of all, sometimes things do get done, but then you don't have a hand in its accomplishment. If you see something that needs to get done, roll up your sleeves, don't delegate, and just get it done. Obviously, some things you do delegate. But the important things in life, if it needs to get done, take the achrayus and see it through to completion. I'm Rabbi Shmamina, ba'asra de'is geber taman, lo tevi geber. Supposed to say, Sabai said, what do you infer from here? That in a place where there is a man, you don't need to be the man. Which Supposed to say is exactly what we just said before. Sometimes in life, if we're honest with ourselves, we want to do things because we want the honor, we want the covet, we want the good feeling of accomplishment. But life is not about doing what you want to do. Life is about doing what needs to get done. So if there's something that someone else is already doing, something that someone else is already taking care of, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need you to do that thing. There are plenty of undone things that God needs our help with. So if you see that someone is already doing something, don't try to duplicate or replicate, but ultimately figure out something that has to be done, roll up your sleeves and do it. So the Gemara says, Pshita, that's obvious. If there's already a man, you don't have to be the man. So I'll say, what happens again if you have two people of equal quality? See, here Rashi understands this, that again, I come to a community, somebody's already teaching Torah, but I'm just as great as that person, so I could teach Torah also. Even that case, where there's equal greatness, if somebody's already doing it, don't replicate services. Darish bar kafra, ezu bar shakitana shakol gufei Torah tulin ba. So I'll say, what is a small section in the Torah, which so much of spirituality, so much of Torah is dependent on? In other words, if you had to go ahead and identify one concept or phrase that is like the fundamental underpinning of so much of Torah, what would it be? So the Gemara, interesting enough, quotes a pasuk from Mishlei. Bechol derechecha da'ehu, v'hu yiyasha archosecha. Literally, again, in all of his ways, know him, and he will straighten out your path. We'll say such an incredible Rashi says, Bechol derechecha, afilu la'avar avera, da'ehu. Tain leiv im tzorech mitzvu kigon ilyo bahara karmel. So let's listen to this. What it means is, Bechol derechecha da'ehu, on a simple pshat level, whatever you do in life, make sure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you. Whatever you do in life, ask yourself very simply, is what I'm about to do the Ratzon HaBore, the will of God? We'll say it's a difficult way to live life, but imagine if we all lived that way, how much different our lives would look. Is this the will of God? Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want me to do this, want me to see this, want me to act like this? And if you live that way, V'hu Yiyasha Archosecha, he will straighten out your ways. And I will say, that's not like a supernatural pasach. It's a cause and effect. If before every time I act, I ask myself, is this the Ratzon HaBore? Is this the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? If that's how I live my life, then including HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every decision I make, Hu Yiyasha Archosecha, he will straighten out my pathways. Involving God, keeping him on my mind before I act, by definition, leads to a straightening out of my orchos, of my orchos, of my pathways. Rashi understands, v'chol d'rachacha da'ehu, and everything you do, know God, even when you commit an avera. That sometimes, I will say, there's the concept of an avera lishma, right? An avera for a higher purpose. So Rashi quotes the example of Elion Hara Carmel, right? Elion Hara Carmel, that was by the Nevi Habal, when he challenges the prophets of Baal to a religious showdown, and he builds an altar outside of the Mishkan, right, which was prohibited. So we'll say another incredible example of, a dramatic example of Aveir Lishma, is Esther Hamelka, right? So b'chol d'rachacha da'ihu, sometimes ultimately, again, a person has to go ahead and commit an Aveir Lishma in order to straighten out. Hu yasha archosecha. Amar Rav, afilu dvar Aveira. Darash Barakafra, the olam yilameit adam espino umlus nekiya v'kala. Barakafra said, Abbas, like, this teaching has nothing to do with the previous one, except that they're both Barakafra. Barakafra said, a person should teach his child a simple and clean trade. A simple and clean trade. I will say, a parent has an obligation to make sure that his child has the ability to go and earn a parnasa. So what should I teach my kid? A simple and clean trade. Umahi, what's a simple and clean trade? Amunat chista, machta de talmiyusa. Weaving, sewing, Rashi says over here, it's actually a certain type of stitching that's done. But the idea is a simple trade, weaving, sewing, that this way I know my child can go ahead and earn a parnasa. Tanya, Rabbi Omer, the olam al yarba adam reyim besoch beso. Person should never have a lot of friends in his house. Shene emar, ish reyim lehisra. Because we'll say, the more people you have in your house, the greater the statistical probability that you're going to fight with someone. So therefore, again, don't keep people always around your house, because even your best of friends, if you hang around them too long, ultimately again create conflict. Rabbi Omer al yamana adam apotropos besoch beso. Person should not appoint an apotropos. We'll say an apotropos is someone who runs his household. She'il male lo mina potifar as Yosef apotropos besoch beso lo bala oso davar. So we'll say here, Rabbi is saying this as a matter of morality. Do not have a man around your home running the affairs of your home. Why? Because it's a recipe for disaster. It's a recipe for disaster. Because look what happened. Potiphar appointed Yosef as the administrator over his home. And it almost led to a possible affair between Yosef and Potiphar's wife. The idea of also what Chazal are teaching us is a person has to be careful with their social interactions. And again, social interactions, business interactions, that no one is above temptation. No one is above temptation. And therefore, again, a person really has to create the necessary gedarim in life to ensure that ultimately, again, they don't put themselves or get themselves into compromising situations. So Tanya, Rebbe Omer, Lama Nismucha Parshas Nazal Parshas. So there was an incredible Gemara. Why the juxtaposition between the Parsha of Nazir and the Parsha of Sota? So let's remember again, the Nazir, the Nazirite, abstains from drinking wine. The Sota, is the woman who was suspected of adultery and is brought to the Beis HaMikdash for this entire process. Lama Lachabos had to teach us a very simple idea. Shekalara Sota Bilkulkula, Yazir Atzma Min Ayayin. Whoever sees the Sota process, what's the reaction to the Sota process, should literally swear off wine. Just swear off wine. Why are people saying? Because wine gets people, or a lot of wine gets people, into a lot of trouble. So a person goes ahead and sees the Sota Bikokula, sees what happens when people become degraded, should not go ahead and drink wine. Amr Chizkiya Brei Dera Parnach, Amr Biochanan, Lama Nismucha Parsha Sota La Parshas, Chumos Umaisus. So we'll say this is incredible. Rabbi Yochanan says as follows. Why the juxtaposition between the parsha of Sota and the parsha of Trumas and Maestros? Remember, Trumas and Maestros are the portions you give to the Kohen and the Levim. So why the juxtaposition? Get ready for this. Lomar lecha, koshiyesh mo Trumas and Maestros ve'inonos on the Kohen. If you have Trumas and Maestros in your produce and you don't bring them to the Kohen, sof nitzrach lekohen al yedei ishto. Sheneemar ve'ish es kadoshav lo yihya v'samech lei ish kisiste ishto ksiv ve'via ish es ishto. So I will say this is incredible. So the Gemara says, why the juxtaposition between Trumas and Maestros and Sota? To teach us that if you don't bring your Trumas and Maestros to the Kohen, if you don't show up to the Kohen for giving him your Trumas and Maestros, then what's going to happen? You're going to see him. Oh, you're going to see the Kohen. Just for a different reason. Because you have to bring your wife, Chas v'Shalom, ultimately, again, for the Sota process. So I will say, I don't remember where I saw it, but years ago, I saw an incredible insight. Because what does this mean? Person doesn't give his Trumas and Maestros. So ultimately, again, he's going to go ahead and have to appear to the Kohen for Sota. Like, it was such a strange juxtaposition. I cannot remember where I saw it, but I saw once a beautiful insight into this, which is, we'll say, when a person doesn't give Trumas and Maestros to the Kohen, so what is he doing? He's being stingy. He's being stingy. So we'll say a lot of times in life, people who are materially stingy are also emotionally stingy. Those who are unwilling to part with their material resources are often unwilling to part with their emotional resources as well. They don't give on themselves. They're not attentive. They're not loving. They're not nurturing. What fundamentally undoes a marriage and chas v'shalom drives people to look for love and attentiveness in other areas? So many times, it's emotional stinginess. When a person just simply is unwilling to give of themselves, a man is unwilling to give of himself to his wife, a man is unwilling to pay attention, a man is unwilling to be generous with his emotions, with his love, with his expressiveness, it could chas v'shalom lead to the fundamental unraveling of a marriage. So if you're so stingy that you're not showing up to the kohen to give him your trumas and maestris, you're going to be at the Kohen at some time, because if you're so stingy with your money, chas v'shalom may be stingy with your emotions. And if you're stingy with your emotions, your marriage, chas v'shalom, could become undone. The Gemara goes weiter. V'lo od elasov shenitzrach lahen, shenayamar v'ishas kadashav lohiya. I'm Rav Nachman, bar Rav Yitzchak. So we'll say furthermore again, the Gemara says, you'll need it. You'll need it. If you're stingy, ultimately, again, you're going to need the Trumas of Ma'isus as well. I'm Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, v'im naslan, sof mis aser. And mis asher, excuse me. And if you give your Trumas and Ma'isus, so we'll say, what's the halacha? You'll become wealthy. Right? Shnei Amar, ish asher yitin l'koin lo yihia. Lo yihia mamon harbe. Again, the Rav said, this is the aser bisvil shetit asher. That give ultimately, again, of your money, give of your chumas and maizus, and you'll become wealthy. Amar Rav Huna Bar Brachia, Mishum Rav Elazar HaKafar. Kol HaMeshatev Shem Shemayim B'Tzaro, Kol Fin Lo Parnasaso. We'll say, ultimately, again, anyone who reaches out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in their time of difficulty, literally, again, his parnasas doubled. Shnei Amar, Vayosh Tai B'Tzrif, V'Kesef Soaf Oslo. So we'll say, the idea being, if in times of difficulty, I reach out even more to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and recognize that God is the one, really the only one who could help me, then ultimately the reward for that is twofold. If you reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in times of financial difficulty, then ultimately, again, one will find that his parnasa will fly to him like a bird. We'll say an incredible Gemara. Literally, again, whoever weakens himself, Rashi points out, by the way, just before Meshatei Shemshan B'Tzaro, one who goes in and includes the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his Tzar, Rashi Shemavarech Al Ara Dayan HaEmes. Whoever accepts HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, even in difficult circumstances, and reaches out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for help, ultimately such a person doesn't just receive salvation, but receives additional salvation. We'll say this next piece is incredibly profound. Whoever weakens himself from Torah. What does that mean? That means, Rabbi say, if a person is derelict in building himself up spiritually, Ein bo koach lamod biyom tzara. He has no strength to stand up in times of difficulty. See, Rabbi say, people make the incredible mistake of thinking that you find God in the midst of crisis. Most people do not find God in the midst of crisis. And the reason for that is because in the midst of crisis, usually I'm just using up all of my energy to keep my head above water. The goal in life is build yourself up spiritually when times are good. Build yourself up. Build up your spiritual resiliency. Build up your spiritual koach when life is tranquil, right? For the two moments that it's tranquil. Go ahead and build yourself up when things are good and simple. And then when tzara comes, which inevitably it does, you will have the spiritual strength and resiliency to weather the storm. But if you don't build yourself up in times of calm, then when difficulty sets in, you will sink. That's just the way that it works. You lose yourself. You lose your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Build yourself up when times are good, and then when tzara comes, you'll have the koach to withstand. Shnei Amar Yisrapis V'yom Tzara Tzar Kechika. Amar Ami Bar Masna B'Shmol Afilu Mitzvah Achos Shnei Amar Yisrapisa Mikol Makom. Even again, Rabbi say, if a person is derelict in one mitzvah that causes his spiritual strength to wane in times of difficulty. Amar Rav Safra Rabbi Yavo Hav Mishtai. Rabbi Yavo was once telling over the following story. Kishiyard Chanina ben Achi Rabbi Yoshua Legola. Hayyama Abishan was a very interesting story. One time Rabbi Chanina, the son of the brother Rabbi Yoshua, once went down to the diaspora. Now when he was in the diaspora, Hayyama Abishan Lakovich Hadoshan Bechutz Laretz, he was going ahead and creating leap years and establishing the new month in Chutzlars. They both say this is normally a practice that is only done in Eretz Yisrael, not done outside the land of Eretz Yisrael. So here you have Rabbi Chanina going ahead and, it's a machlokes if it's Chanina or Chananya, going ahead and establishing the new month, establishing leap years in Chutzlars. So what happens? Shagru acharav shnei tamidi chachamim. So from Eretz Yisrael, they sent after him two tamidi chachamim, Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur, uben beno shal Zechariah ben Kabutal. So they sent after him Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur and Zechariah ben Kabutal. So when Rabbi Chanina sees them, he says to them, why did you come? So they said to me, we came to learn Torah from you. These two men, Rabbi Chanina, is called, announced about them. These two people who came, Rabbi Yossi ben Kafar and the son of Rabbi Zechariah ben Kavutal, they are great people, Gidoli Hadar, and their forefathers have Osim Shushu Beis Hamikdash, and their forefathers served in the temple, Keosa Shashaninu, Zechariah ben Kavutal, Omer, Harbe Pamim Karisi Lefana Besefer Daniel. Zechariah ben Kavutal, who was the father, ultimately, again, of the second Talmud Chacham, used to read before the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur night passages from Sefer Daniel so that the Kohen Gadol would not fall asleep. So what happened? So Rabbi Chanina started passing halacha. Everything that he would be metame, they would be metayer. Who oser vehe matirim? Everything that he would aser, they would permit. So they started contradicting all of his halachic rulings. So Rabbi Chanina goes ahead and announces, these guys, they're no good. They're no good. Amrul, so the people said, Rabbi Chanina, what are you talking about? Kvar banisa, v'yata yachal listar, kvar gazarta, v'yata yachal lifrot. Rabbi Chanina, you just told us before that they're gidolei hadar. You just told us before that they're descendants of people from the Beis Hamikdash, and now suddenly you want to discount them. You can't do that. Amrul lahem, ipnei ma ani metami v'atem metarim, ani oser v'atem matirim. So Rabbi Chanina asks, these two Talmidei Chachamim Eretz Yisrael, why are you doing this? Why is it that you're contradicting me? Why is it that when I say something is mutter, you say it's aser? When I say it's tummy, you say it's tar. So ultimately, again, they said, because you are illegally creating leap years and establishing the new month in Chutz La'aretz. The calendar is set in Eretz Yisrael. It's not set in the diaspora, yet you're doing it. So he said to them, but Rabbi Akiva went ahead and set the calendar even outside of Eretz Yisrael. So essentially they say, you know, Rabbi Chanina, we knew Rabbi Akiva, and you are no Rabbi Akiva, right? The idea being that ultimately, Rabbi Akiva was different. Rabbi Akiva, when he left Eretz Yisrael, he was the undisputed Gadol Hador. And when he left, there was no one like him in Eretz Yisrael. So for the undisputed Gadol Hador, where he goes, he could establish new month. But Rabbi Chanina, that's not your case. Amar le afani lo anachti kemosi Eretz Yisrael. So this is incredible. Rabbi Chanina says, but one second. I, again, not to brag, I am the Gadol Hador. In other words, I am the greatest Talmud Chacham of the generation. So let's listen to this answer. Amar lo, this is so beautiful. They said to Rabbi Chanina, you left Eretz Yisrael a long time ago. G'diyim she'nachtu kvar na'asu tayashim. Bale karnayim. So they said to Rabbi Chanina, you know, the little sheep, the little goats that you left behind have developed into large rams with strong horns. Yes, when you left, you were the Gadol, but Baruch Hashem, the little goats have developed into great Talmidei Chacham as well, and you are no longer the greatest sage of the generation. Ve'hem shigru etzlecha. And ultimately, again, they sent us to you to tell you to stop declaring the new month, stop making leap years. Ve'chein amru lanu l'chu v'amru lo b'shmenu. And they sent the following message to Rabbi Chanina. Im shomea mutav. If Rabbi Chanina, if you stop playing around with the calendar, fantastic. Ve'im lav yehei benidvi. And if not, you're going to be excommunicated. Va'amru la'achinu shebagola. And say to our brothers, right? Say to the brethren in the city, right? Im shomea mutav. If you listen to us and you go ahead, if you listen to us and you stop playing around with the calendar, fantastic. Ve'im lav. But if you're going to continue to support Rabbi Chanina's efforts of playing around with the calendar, I don't mean playing around, you understand, he's not playing around, but going at and manipulating the calendar, then here's our advice to you. So go up to Har Achia, excuse me, go up to the mountain. Achia Yivne Mizbeach. Chananya Yinage Mekinor. V'yichapru Kulam V'yomru Eilam Chilak V'elokei Yisrael. So we'll say, so they sent the message to the townspeople of Rabbi Chanina's town. If you're going to continue to go ahead and try to manipulate the calendar, go up to the mountain, essentially build yourself an altar, start worshiping another god, and declare you have no portion in the God of Israel. Which I will say was another way of saying, if you're going to play with the calendar outside of Israel, we totally disavow you. We disavow you, then go become another religion. So what happens? Miyad go'okala an bebechia. Everyone started crying. Because I will say, these were good people. Rabbi Chanina was a good person. Rabbi Chanina made a mistake. He thought that he had the license to go ahead and manipulate the calendar, when in fact he did not. They said, Chas v'shalom, of course. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our God. Right? At the end of the day, so they stopped. They stopped. V'chol kach lama, mishum shenemar, ki mitzion teitzei Torah dvar Hashem Yerushalayim. We'll say, how did this happen? Because at the end of the day, Torah comes from Tzion. Ultimately, again, the calendar comes from Tzion. The setting of the calendar only comes from Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, Bishlam, umetarvei mitamin l'chumra. So I understand that Rabbi Chanina, so we're going back for just a moment. In the case where Rabbi said they were reversing his judgments, so Rabbi Chanina ultimately, again, is metahir, and they're metame, and I understand the chumra. But how, we'll say, if he was metame something, how could he be metared? We learned that if one chacham goes ahead and is metare something, he's metame, his chaver can't be metare. If he asers, his chaver can't be matir. So we'll say, in other words, you could reverse a judgment to make it more stringent. You can't make a reverse judgment to make it more lenient. To which the Gemara says, "Kasavri kehechi delo nigreru basrei." So we'll say they felt that at the end of the day, there was an existential to Klal Yisrael over here. So because there was an existential danger, therefore halacha lemaaseh, they felt the need to contradict all of his rulings, including going ahead and even being more lenient than his initial rulings. Remember, all of this was to get Rabbi Chanina to stop dealing with the calendar and to understand the severity of his actions. Therefore, they felt to, they had to upend all of his rulings. So we'll stop over here for today. I'm going to share with you just a short idea in the parasha. Don't worry. You can see there's only a little bit of Amud Aleph tomorrow. In Meretz Hashem, we're going to have absolutely no problem going ahead and finishing everything. I'll just share with you a short idea from the parasha.